Welcome to Tell Me About Your Pain. I'm Alan Gordon.
And I'm Alon Ziv.
Today, we're going to talk about why your brain is always pulling your focus back to pain and how to break free of that habit.
As always, we're excited to be doing this podcast in partnership with Curable. Curable is an app for treating chronic pain. And if you like our approach to pain, we think you'll like Curable's exercises and techniques. You can check them out at curablehealth.com.
So, as you guys know, I record a lot of calls with pain sufferers for this podcast. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked to a woman named Sue. And Sue had as much fear and preoccupation around her pain as anyone I've ever seen.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. And I was trying everything to help reduce her pain, somatic tracking, leaning into positive sensations, and nothing was working. And then, almost magically and kind of surprisingly, we tapped into something. And within 5 minutes, Sue was like a different person. Her pain was way down. Her fear was way down. It was seriously the most amazing turnaround from like terror to triumph that I've ever seen.
Wow.
Anyway, we're not going to play that clip on this episode.
You're such a tease.
I know, because it's kind of off topic, but we did want you guys to hear it. So we're putting it up on our Tell Me About Your Pain community Facebook page.
That's right. If you haven't joined yet, please go to Facebook and search for Tell Me About Your Pain community. It's only been active for a few weeks, and it's already grown into such a positive, supportive community. Alan is there giving pain tips and answering questions, and there are all kinds of chronic pain sufferers cheering each other on. It's really great.
Anyway, back to this episode. So many people who have chronic pain have a lot of fear or frustration around their symptoms. Is the pain ever going to go away? Am I doing the right stuff? And having this kind of reaction is natural, but as we've talked about in previous episodes, when you respond to the pain with all this negative thinking, it reinforces to your brain that the pain is actually dangerous.
We know that this makes the pain worse, but how do we break the habit? That's what we're going to talk about today. In our first clip, Alan talks to Chris, a longtime chronic pain sufferer whose negative thought patterns are contributing to his pain.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. So I thought maybe we could start off by having you just tell me a little bit about your pain, what's going on.
So, you know, I just feel berated a lot of the time by the pain or my mind. And I'm not saying it's so excruciating where I can't move, but it's, you know, when I get up out of bed or when I get up from a chair, you know, I get extreme tightness in like my hip and my back, or when I'm walking, I feel something. It's frustrating. It never just goes away. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times I test myself, you know, will it happen this time? Will it happen that time? And I feel like I zone out of life as well, because I just keep going back to those sensations that, you know, are uncomfortable. You know, I'm a fixer, a doer. What can I do to make this better? Or, you know, I'm not used to just doing nothing and relaxing. So that's how it is usually on a daily basis for me.
So it seems like your mind has a tendency to go toward, what can I do? How can I fix this? How can I make it better? Does it go toward fear thoughts? Like, is it ever going to go away? Am I doing the right things?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it goes to, I haven't seen improvement in X amount of time. Is it going to go away? Am I doing the right emotional work? Am I even in this moment, is what I'm doing now making anything worse? And then physically, if I do something, is that going to make it worse? But I think one of the biggest tortures for me is the, am I ever going to really get better? Am I going to jump past this hurdle of, you know, unlearning my pain and rewiring it? Yeah. Sometimes it just feels inevitable.
Chris, that just hearing you lay all that out, like not just the constant problem solving, but am I ever going to see improvement? I haven't seen improvement this long. Is it ever going to happen? Am I doing the right stuff? Like, it honestly just sounds really exhausting.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
It's not even like just the pain that you need to deal with, but it's this constant fear and frustration and preoccupation around the pain that is like another level of suffering.
Mm-hmm. my fuel of my day really is anxiety.
Yeah, this is like your default setting.
Yeah, I function and I'm fine. I can, you know, I do everything okay in my life, but, you know, mentally it's probably just where I'm at and I can feel my body.
Yeah, it seems like you can't even go 15 or 20 seconds without another fear thought or another preoccupation thought.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, rinse and repeat. It's all you do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the show Friends?
Yes, I am.
So I have probably seen every episode of Friends like 15 times. You know, I know the show by heart at this point. Yet whenever an episode comes on, I am absolutely drawn toward it. You know, it's so just familiar. I've seen it so many times. I'm so familiar with the characters. It almost kind of feels like home just because, you know, I know it so well. Do you have any TV shows or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm actually a big Office fan too.
Oh, great.
So yeah, something like that. I understand the feeling.
I think that's another show like that. It's so familiar. There's just kind of a feeling you get when you watch it, a familiarity. The reason why your brain has a tendency to gravitate toward preoccupation, toward fear thoughts, toward problem solving incessantly is pretty simple. It's because the feeling that you get in your body when you're in a state of fight or flight has become so familiar that your brain gravitates toward it over and over and over. Even though it doesn't make you feel good, it's become home.
I can't believe you're talking about Friends in your sessions now. So for our listeners at home, Alan is obsessed with Friends and is, I think you're rewatching it now.
Right? I'm on season 6 currently, yeah.
And he's constantly sending texts to me and to his sister because all three of us love the show. It is a great show. This is a text that Alan sent me a few nights ago. I just have a hard time believing that Rachel would be so stoked at the idea of Chandler moving in with her and Monica. She's very particular when it comes to her personal space.
I just felt like it was a forced plot point.
I respect that you're so, you know, tuned in to the characters that you can pick up on when they're being inconsistent. Anyway, interesting clip with you and Chris. I think a lot of our listeners will be able to relate to Chris and, you know, that he keeps getting pulled back into these negative thoughts.
The fear and the frustration is so strong when you have the pain, those thoughts of like, is it ever going to go away? Am I doing the right stuff? Everybody has those.
Right. And so what you were saying to Chris is that the reason that he's drawn back into that negative thinking is because it's familiar.
Right.
Just like the show Friends, it's like home. It's a right. familiar place for his mind to go back to. Which is interesting because it's a little bit counterintuitive. I mean, Friends is really funny. Friends right. is a pleasant.
The first 6 seasons. Kind okay. of the last we're, 4 seasons.
You're not going to get into that debate again. But, you know, it makes sense to be drawn to something comforting like Friends that's familiar. But right. you're saying that something that's familiar, even if it's unpleasant,
right.
can still, you know, draw your brain to it.
Right. You know, I remember when I was at the tail end of getting out of pain, the pain wasn't completely gone, but I didn't have any fear around it anymore. The preoccupation was gone. I could tell I was on my way out. And I remember waking up one Saturday morning, and for the first time in maybe 3 years, I was feeling like I'm free. And I just remember having this thought of like, what do I even do today?
Right, because you know, all that pain and all that preoccupation you had around the pain was gone. So
yeah.
now you had like all this time and energy on
your
hands.
It's like the world was my oyster. I was like, should I eat ice cream all day? Do I like go to a meadow? Like I didn't even know what to do.
I like the meadow idea.
And I remember sitting down for breakfast. I think I was eating a bowl of Captain Berry Crunch or something.
Nothing says freedom like sugar cereals.
I remember, you know, I'm eating cereal and maybe the third bite or something like that. I bit down on my tongue so hard that like blood was gushing out of my mouth.
That's horrible.
It was unbelievable. Like went to the mirror, you know, and for the next 2 weeks, of course, like it hurt every time I talked. It hurt every time I ate. I was constantly looking in the mirror to see if my tongue was healing.
The pain was back. The preoccupation was back.
Exactly.
You were right back.
It's like I was right back in that preoccupation cycle. cycle.
Although it seems to me like, you know, there's only one way that story could end with injury, because Captain Crunch rips up the roof of your mouth so severely.
I know.
Like, you have only yourself to blame.
I know. The Captain Crunch pieces are so sharp. It's actually really all about the berries. I remember when I was a kid, I bought 3 boxes of Captain Berry Crunch just so I can make one box that was all berries.
Well, and now they actually sell that. It's called Oops, It's All Berries.
Yeah, that's right. I was ahead of my time, I guess.
But the point of the story is that you were in an unfamiliar place where you felt free, and then you immediately went back to into the pain and the preoccupation that was more familiar.
Yeah. And in retrospect, I wonder, like, on some unconscious level, did I do that just so I could get pulled back to that state of preoccupation? You know, when we become conditioned to that state of fight or flight, it's like our brains find ways to bring us back to that familiar state.
All right, let's get back to the call, where Alan's going to help Chris dig even deeper.
Yes, it makes sense, but I just confuse as to why, you know, the brain would go to something that's painful like that. Are you saying that it's when the pain comes up, it remembers and feels comfortable with the anxiety, fear, and preoccupation, or the anxiety, fear, and preoccupation come first always and then the pain? Because it's constant pain, so I'm just confused and where the line is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really the level of preoccupation around the pain that is the fuel for that state. The pain, you know, just begets the preoccupation. When we have the kind of brain that loves gravitating toward preoccupation, it will find any reason in the world to go to that state of, like, grappling with something or trying to figure something out or worrying about something or, you know, being terrified or obsessed with something over and over and over. And when your brain found pain, it was like we hit the jackpot. The depth of preoccupation around pain is so strong that your brain was like, oh my God, this is the mother load. We never need anything else again.
Oh, I get it. Okay. So it's almost like before the pain came on, I had the tendency to do that with anything else, whether it's work, school, family. Those were just little nuggets of gold. But when the pain happened and it became learned, it said, this is the mother load. This is what we need. And it doesn't, you know, and then that coupled with the preoccupation, worry, and fear in my daily life is just this nasty, you know, combination of things that just perpetuate the pain and the fear, right?
You got it. And does that resonate with you that even before the pain came on, there was that kind of like preoccupation with work or with family or with school or with, you know, with anything?
Oh, always. Now that I think about it, like anything, I was with my a relationship, you know, whether it was school, work, I would always try to problem solve and worry about anything at hand to avoid really my emotions, myself, and how what I was really feeling. It was always go, 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 power through, figure it out, fix it, and not tend to myself, really.
Yeah, so this is not a pain problem that you have. This is a preoccupation problem that you have. The pain is just the greatest source that your brain has found so far of bringing you to that familiar state of preoccupation that has become so strangely comfortable and natural and familiar to your brain that it goes there out of habit now.
Yeah, it feels like relaxation is impossible, you know, and it goes back to what you said about the preoccupation of you have to be doing something different and avoid whatever you're feeling. I feel uncomfortable in that stillness or being with myself, almost like I don't even appreciate myself.
This is what happens whenever you feel okay, whenever you feel calm, whenever you feel at ease. Your brain is like, ah, this is foreign. This is unfamiliar. I don't know what this is. I got to get the hell away from here. And your brain runs to preoccupation. And then you start thinking about your pain. Is it ever going to go away? Am I doing the right things? You know, should I be doing something more? Should I be working with a therapist? Should I be reading this book? And that's just your brain's way of running away from a state of calm, from a state of ease to a familiar state of preoccupation.
Yeah. It is so frustrating that all the signs point to it, but like I'm laying in bed or I turn over and I'm like, yeah, but every time I do this, I can feel a pinching here. I get it in my toe, you know, like every time I stretch out and get in that specific position, that's not conditioning. That's me, you know, physically irritating something in me. Like that's where my mind goes to, you know?
Yeah.
And even though everyone's telling me and physicians are telling me it's, you know, nothing structurally is wrong with you. They've seen the MRIs, they've seen my reports, and yeah, that's where it goes.
I want to pull the curtain back on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Your obsessive tendency to problem solve and try to figure this thing out, the tendency that you have to gravitate toward fear thoughts, is that ever going to go away? Am I improving enough? Am I going to be dealing with this for the rest of my life? The constant grappling and wrestling with, is it neuroplastic or is it structural? Oh, here's some evidence on this side. Here's some evidence on that side. Kind of that constant uncertainty. All three of those things are exactly the same. I want you to imagine that, you know, it's Halloween and a kid comes trick-or-treating to your house and he's dressed as Spider-Man and, you know, maybe you have really good candy or something like that. So he goes home and he changes into a Batman costume and he goes back to your house, rings the doorbell, you give him some more candy. He goes home, he changes into a Wolverine costume and he comes back, he gets some more candy. It's the same kid. He's just wearing a different mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these things that you have, the constant problem solving, the incessant fear thoughts, the constant grappling over, is it structural or is it neuroplastic? It's all the same thing. It's just wearing a different mask.
It's, you know, when you put it that way, it makes a lot of sense. But it also puts it in perspective for me to just think about that and go, this is mask 1, 2, and 3. I'll be allowed to dissipate the fear and dissipate the anxiety around that.
That's it. I mean, the problem is you buy in to the thoughts and then you either engage with them or try fighting against them. And that just indulges the preoccupation addiction. It's not just a matter of identifying this as mask 2. It's understanding why your brain is doing that and getting better at existing in that state of stillness and calm. So what I want to do is see if we could do a few practice reps teaching you a new way, getting a few opportunities to get exposure to this state of feeling good, feeling nice, feeling calm, recognizing your mind's desire and urge to run away from that, but teaching you how to lean into it to start down the path of creating this new default setting.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yes.
So what I want you to do is I want you just to kind of like slow yourself down a little bit, slow your system down.
I really like that Halloween analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting that, you know, you're saying that all these different kinds of preoccupation, whether you're worried about the pain or worried about work or, you know, trying to solve some problem, is really all just the same thing.
Exactly.
And I thought it was interesting that you were telling Chris that it's not just that he's running toward the preoccupation because it's familiar, he's also running away from something.
Right.
Running away from this idea of stillness.
I remember a few years ago, I was taking a flight somewhere back when we used to take flights.
The good old days.
Yeah. I remember I got on the airplane and I sat down and there was this maybe 22-year-old guy sitting next to me. And shortly after takeoff, he pulls out his phone and he looks on Instagram and he puts his phone away.
Well, I hope he was using the Wi-Fi from the plane because, his phone should have been in airplane mode.
Is it not enough that I was looking to see that he was on Instagram and you know what mode he's in also?
good point.
He's on Instagram. He puts his phone away. 45 seconds later, he picks his phone back up. He looks on Instagram again. How many likes can you get on a picture in 45 seconds?
Right. How many new posts is he going to see 45 seconds later?
Literally, same thing again, 45 seconds later. We're on maybe like an hour and a half flight, and he literally checks Instagram maybe 100 times.
Wow.
And so that's what happens is, you know, we're constantly running away from the feeling that comes up in the face of stillness, trying to preoccupy our brains with anything to bring us to that familiar state of being in fight or flight.
That's really interesting. And, you know, I think it's important to note that this is a really common problem.
Right.
And it's not just Chris that has this. It's not just Alan. It's not just the Instagram guy on the plane. It's not just chronic pain sufferers, but this is something that affects a huge number of people.
Right.
And I actually want to tell our listeners about a study on stillness that is, so I'm kind of a nerd and, you know, like,
first of all, kind of.
Okay. So like Alan is obsessed with Friends.
And Captain Very Crunch.
I'm obsessed with reading scientific studies. I'm not sure which one of those is worse. It might be a tie.
Yeah.
But this, you know, so I read a ton of studies on pain and on psychology and all kinds of things. And this study is really one of my favorite studies of all time because it's so simple and yet so relatable to so many people. And it's about stillness.
Right.
And so these academics at the University of Virginia recruited a bunch of people to do an experiment on stillness. And it's so simple. They brought the people into the lab and they said, sit in this room for 15 minutes.
Okay.
That's it.
That was the study.
Sit in the room for 15 minutes. Don't look at your phone. Don't look at anything. Just sit and be still.
Uh-huh.
And people had such a hard time with it.
Huh.
People said, consistently rated it as difficult and unpleasant.
Right.
They really did not like just sitting with stillness. So then the professors at University of Virginia thought, okay, well, maybe it's just because the lab, you know, it's like an unfamiliar environment. We're going to let people try this at home. People still didn't like it. They still rated it as difficult and unpleasant. And 1/3 of the people said that they cheated. They couldn't even make it the full 15 minutes.
Wow.
They like had to check their phone. They had to turn on the TV.
There's probably a bunch of other people who cheated but didn't admit it.
Yeah, that's true. And then they tried something even crazier. They're like, okay, let's see how far people will go to avoid stillness. So they brought people into the lab and they hooked them up to an electric shock machine.
Right.
And they gave them a shock.
Yeah.
And the people said, ow, that hurts.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do the stillness part. We're going to leave you in this room for 15 minutes, don't check your phone, don't do anything. You're still hooked up to the shock machine.
Okay.
But all you have to do is sit here. 43% of the people shocked themselves during the 15 minutes.
Wow.
They were so, the idea of just sitting there in the stillness was so unpleasant that they would rather give themselves an electric shock just to distract themselves from those feelings that came up, as you said. From the uncomfortableness of the stillness, one guy shocked himself 190 times.
Wow.
In 15 minutes.
Wow. That is an amazing study. That is like the Captain Barry Crunch of studies.
That is a big compliment.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is, stillness is hard for a lot of us.
Yeah.
So what can we do about it?
This is what we're actually going to do with Chris. My goal is to help him do an exercise to help him increase his capacity to tolerate that feeling of stillness so he doesn't need to run away from it toward these thoughts that are reinforcing his pain.
That sounds great. Let's listen to our last clip with Chris.
And bring your attention to the physical sensation of the breath. In sensation and out sensation. So what I want you to do is just see if you can get some practice paying attention to this sensation, and are you able to tap into it feeling nice?
Yes.
Good. And as you breathe into this sensation, and just paying attention to a physical sensation that feels nice, that feels positive, that you enjoy paying attention to, is the single most effective way to heal your brain. You are literally, it's like laying down new tracks. You're literally creating new neural pathways in the moment, teaching your brain to more automatically gravitate towards sensations that feel good. This is all you need to be doing ever to heal your pain and heal your brain. As you're paying attention to this nice physical sensation of the breath coming in and out, your brain is desperately, urgently going to try to bring you back toward one of those familiar patterns. right? Problem solving, fear, grappling with something.
I feel like in my body, I'm getting like little spurts of pain and in the areas that hurt. And it immediately goes to, how can I take what I'm doing with Alan right now and apply it to after we're off of the phone?
Great.
In the future.
Great. Okay. So this brings us back to what we're talking about. Why did your mind just go to, how can I take this lesson with Alan and apply it to we're off the phone? Actually, I'm going to make this multiple choice. Did it go there? This is a loaded question, so you better get this right.
All right.
Did it go there because it was actually helping you figure something out that was going to improve your chances of getting out of pain? Or did it go there because being in the state of problem solving, fight or flight, fear mode is your default setting, and on some unconscious level, that thought made you feel more comfortable?
I want to say B. I feel like...
That's good. That tells me that you're paying attention.
Yeah, I just like, it's like, you better get this right, you know, after this happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you want to capture it as much as you can and apply it. It's a one shot.
You know, really, like, the physical sensation of pain or a fear thought, it's really kind of the same thing in your case. They're both trying to bring you away from this calm, relaxing, nice state of existence. And not because your brain is your enemy. Your brain is not trying to hurt you. Our brains are always trying to protect us. It just doesn't know that this state is safe. Right? Imagine like when you're like a little kid and you're at like Disneyland with your parents and you get lost for like 10 seconds or something like that. And you're looking around frantically and then you see your parents and you're like, oh, thank God. Right? That's what your brain is doing. It's not trying to hurt you. It's just trying to go back toward what's familiar because it thinks that that's safe. What we're trying to do is teach your brain a new default setting so that your brain could actually learn this other state is safe too. So you don't need to run away every time you feel okay. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. It feels almost empowering that I kind of take pressure off myself knowing that I'm not trying to hurt myself. My brain isn't, and these sensations, they're just sensations. They're not dangerous. And all those masks we talked about almost kind of melt away in a sense.
You don't need to buy into the drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lean into that nice physical sensation of the breath coming in and out of your nostrils and just enjoy the breath, enjoy the moment. And when you see your brain trying to take you toward, you know, an unpleasant sensation or an unpleasant thought, just be like, hey, buddy, I know what you're doing. I know why you're doing it. It's okay. This new state is okay. And the more exposure I get to it, the more you're going to trust that this is actually a safe state and you don't need to run away. And how are you feeling right now?
I actually feel a lot better.
Yeah?
Yeah, the tightness in my chest is away and I'm feeling very minimal things in my back and my leg.
Wow. You know, you told me at the beginning of this call that it's always there and it's always bad. And look how easy it is for you.
Yeah.
So just like lean into this positive sensation. All you had to do was just kind of recognize what your brain is trying to do, why it's trying to do it. You don't need to buy into it. You could just calm your brain down knowing that the very act of leaning into this positive sensation is getting you the reps, is getting you the practice to create this new default set. And even just that knowledge, even just this initial practice is enough to make you feel a lot better. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. And it gives me hope that, you know, even all the times I try to scare myself and worry about if it's structural or not, or am I going to get better? It's just like, I'm able to just see this wave coming, but understand that, you know, I'm safe and I'm okay, and things are going to get better. And they may not get better right away, but it's going to take some practice, and that's okay.
I really like the journey that Chris went on over the course of these three clips. I mean, you know, thinking back to the first clip, he was very anxious. You know, he was in a fight or flight state, as you would say.
Right.
And he was very, you know, he was very worried about the future. Are things going to get better? Are they going to get worse? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? And then by the end of the last clip, you know, he had reached this much more calm.
Yeah.
You know, he was definitely more still. And to help him reach that stillness, you used a technique that we introduced in our last episode, which is leaning into positive sensations.
Yeah. And the goal is not just to lean into positive sensations when you're in pain or, you know, for 5 minutes every morning. You really want to get practice throughout the day. When I was in college, actually, I remember the Dalai Lama came to speak at Pali Pavilion, which was 2 minutes away from my dorm. And I was an economics major at the time. I didn't know anything about psychology or meditation. But when the Dalai Lama's, you know, speaking half a block from your dorm,
you gotta go.
You gotta go, yeah.
You can't miss the Dalai Lama.
So, you know, the Dalai Lama's there. There's a lot of meditation experts in the audience. And I remember he said at one point, oh, I talked to a lot of these people in Beverly Hills and they only meditate an hour a day. And then he laughs, ha, ha, ha. And everyone in the audience laughs, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like looking around thinking like, are they crazy? Like an hour a day is a lot.
Yeah, only an hour a day.
Yeah. But I realize in retrospect, what he was saying is it's not just about attending to your internal state for a brief period and then just neglecting yourself the rest of the time. You know, the goal is to get practice leaning into these positive sensations, acclimating yourself to this new state of stillness, creating these new neural pathways so that there's a new default setting.
Yeah, that makes sense, because stillness is actually a really nice state to be in when you're not scared of it and giving yourself electric shocks to get away from it.
Exactly.
It's actually really nice to be still. And I think we saw that with Chris, where, you know, he seemed much more comfortable at the end when he was sitting with his stillness than at the beginning. But like you said, it takes practice.
Right. So I would advise all of our listeners to see if you can actually watch your mind gravitating toward fear thoughts or problem-solving mode or, you know, frustration. And when you understand what your mind is doing and why your mind is doing it, it's easier not to buy into those thoughts and get practice leaning into this new feeling of stillness, these positive sensations, creating these new neural pathways so that that could become your new default state. So thank you guys so much for listening. Remember to join our Facebook group. We're going to be posting that really great session with Sue later today.
I can't wait to hear this mysterious thing that you guys tapped into.
You won't be disappointed.
Just search for Tell Me About Your Pain Community on Facebook.
We'd like to thank our partners at Curable. You could check them out at curablehealth.com. We'd also like to thank our incredible producer, Lori Poliski, and we'll see you guys next time.